And I think Christians should just say, enough of this nonsense. It's not about giving gifts. It's about Him, Jesus Christ. One of the things that He came to give us is hope. You know, it just rattles my cage a little bit when I hear somebody as precious as that say that I was having suicidal thoughts. Buddy, every person in this church should have heard that with a warning sign that says, we've got to do something different in the church when our kids start having suicidal thoughts. We must communicate the values and the things that Christ has died to give us. We must communicate that to our teenagers and to each other. I love this. I love this, that a family could come up and say, here's what Christ did for me. He brought hope in our family when on the earth we should have had no hope. A confident expectation. We must have hope because it's a big part of faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, not wished for. It's the substance of things hope. I have a confident expectation. I am not wishing upon a star. I have a confident expectation that He is going to bring it to pass. Why? Because it's tied. The substance is the Word of God. I don't just get to conjure up these thoughts in my mind and say, I'm going to be this or I'm going to be that. I go to the Word of God and I read the Word of God and it says, this is what I died to give you. This is who you are. This is the heritage of a believer. And then I can say, well, that doesn't look like my life. But I can have a hope in Christ because there's the substance. The substance is God said I can have it and I don't have it right now. So what's going on? Satan's been stealing from you? Or the world has just convinced you that you don't need it? You can't have it? Right? They're pushing on us. It's time we push back. Amen. It's time we say, no, He said I can have it. I want what He died to give me. Romans 15:13, which is a verse that Carrie read. Now, I want you to understand, men did not write the Bible. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Men penned it as the Holy Spirit told them what to write. So the Holy Spirit writes this. Now may the God of hope, and right there, you should just stop and say, what? What did the Holy Spirit just tell us about our God? He called Him the God of hope. Now, please stay with me for a second. Have you ever felt hopeless? It's possible that you feel hopeless right now. We are never without hope because we serve the God of hope. He says, may He fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope. Do you realize, Christians, we should never be hopeless? There should never be a day in your life when you wake up in despair. But is there? Can we take the mask off? Absolutely, there's many days in which we feel hopeless. I guess I'm trying to tell you there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect in what this cross means and what's getting to us. Is that fair? Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. He says, talking about Abraham, he says, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he could become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. You got to get those two words. His body was beyond child reproduction. Okay? Already dead, he says. Since he was about 100 years old. I'd say that's about right. And then the deadness of Sarah's womb. So not only was his body dead to child reproduction, so was hers. Yet he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. I hope this is touching your heart. You don't have to know how God's going to come through. You just got to know he is going to come through. But he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. What God has promised, it's not your job to make it happen. It's his job to make it happen. If there's a promise in that word, all you've got to do is stand on it. It's his job to back it up. And he said, I watch over my word to perform it. Abraham said, beyond all hope, hoped. That doesn't make sense today. What in the world is he saying? He's saying, beyond the natural hope, in the spirit, I had hope. My hope is not in the natural. It's not in my intellect. It's not in my job. It's not in my bank account. It's not in what the world can do to me. My hope is in Jesus Christ. He is the rock of my salvation. I just really feel like I'm talking to some people today. I really feel like that we have just laid down our hope. Life has dealt you difficulty. And it's possible that you're disappointed with God. And I just want to let you know, God never disappoints. God is faithful. You must stand. You must stand in hope. Spiritual hope is not a wish, and it's not pie in the sky. It's about Christ in us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 through 28 says, the mystery. Now, a mystery in New Testament times is different than mysteries today. A mystery today is something that we can't hardly figure it out. We may have to go to someone and help me figure out this mystery. I don't know why this happened. Help me figure out this mystery. A mystery in the Old Testament, or in Bible times, meant it's not yet been revealed. It wasn't that it's difficult to figure out, but it hasn't been revealed yet. So he says, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but not has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, now listen to the mystery that he wants to show us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Our hope is in eternity, but it's also here and now. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. One of the hopes that we have is our salvation. Now, most of you, if I would ask, are you saved? You would say yes. Not realizing that you're speaking faith. You see, if we got other things down pat, like the church has salvation, we would live far above where we're living today. I got news for you. You're not saved yet. You're saved by faith. It's so real to us that we don't even realize we're speaking faith when we say, I'm saved. See, what are you saved from? You're saved from the wrath of God. One day, God's going to rain his wrath down. And you will experience your faith in real time. Because you'll be removed from that. But right now, your salvation is by faith. By faith I am saved. And we don't even get it. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. You get what I'm saying? It's so much faith. We got this one down. But what if we said, are you healed? Well, no, I've got this cough. Whoa. Let's line it up with the Word. The same Word that says that you're saved by faith says you're healed. Right? If we could just get to this point in our life where we would speak faith over these other issues in our life, I think that we would experience them much quicker. I thank God that one day I'll be in heaven with you. But until that day, I want to live a victorious life in Him. Amen. And my hope is that I will live a victorious life because He died to give me one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, He says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels," starting with verse 7, "that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now he begins to tell some of the things he's going through. "We're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Skipping a few verses, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What you're going through is trying to work glory into your life. So what is glory? We talk about these words all the time. We don't really know what we're talking about. Glory is God's presence. Glorification is the process by which we become like Him. Now, can we go back just a little bit? It says, "The mystery that I'm writing to you is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The hope of you becoming like Christ. I got news for you. As I thought about this, I thought, you know what my problem is? My problem is me. And your problem is you. And the hope of glory, the hope of bringing something out of you that's so precious, is Christ in you. I came to tell you this today. Throw your self-help books away. Throw your diet plan away. Throw all the wisdom that you can gather away. Throw your vitamins away. Throw everything away that's searching the world to make your life better. Throw it away. And let's seek God with all of our hearts. Because the hope of glory is Christ in you. The only way you get better is not by reading some thoughts of man. It's seeking the face of God. And he says, "I am the hope of glory." Can I change that word? I am the hope of glorification, the process of you becoming sanctified and becoming like Christ. I think every one of us would say, the goal of my life is to be like Jesus. Am I there? Absolutely not. I'm nowhere close. The closer I get, the further I see that I'm away. But I can tell you, after just letting this verse lay in my heart for a couple of weeks, I just see it so, I don't know if you're getting this, but the glory is the presence of God in my life. If I have the presence of God in my life, I don't have to go and announce it. Everyone will know. Jesus never had an entourage going with him, ahead of him, saying, "Jesus is coming into the community." But they knew. When Jesus was coming, they knew. When the disciples, there's a verse in the disciples that says, they knew, the community knew that those men had been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, if we begin to seek the face of God, such as quit quit. We spend so much time, so much energy, so much money seeking everybody else's advice. When we need to go to the throne and say, God, help us today. Live large in me, Jesus. I need you. He's the hope. Jesus is the hope. I can't preach it any louder. You know, I was so convicted last week. I went home after church and man, I mean, the Holy Spirit was really convicting me. And I want to offer you an apology because I really felt like I was wrong. I called you deadbeats last week. I said, you deadbeats need to wake up. And man, the Holy Spirit really got a hold of me because you're not deadbeats. I don't believe that you're deadbeats. But just the way I said, I don't expect you to worship like me. I shouldn't expect you to sit in a service like me. We went to a Baptist church, First Baptist Church in Murray one time. There, a guy by the name of Steve Hale was there. And buddy, he was laying the word down. I'm telling you, he was laying it down. And you know, that church is a very quiet church. Until an old fat Pentecost walked into it. And the more he preached the word, the louder I got. And I was, yeah, hallelujah, amen, brother, go ahead. And I was the only one in the church doing that, by the way. And my wife was elbowing me and, oh, be quiet, shut up. You know, I was just really embarrassed. For me to sit there in silence would be being someone that I'm not. But for you to act like me might be being somebody you're not. So I apologize that I called you deadbeats last week. But, there's a big but on this one. I am very passionate about the Word of God. And I don't understand when others are not. So all I wish that when we come in, don't act like me. You don't have to act like me. But when we come into the house of God and we open up this book that's alive, amen. I just ask you to give it the most attention that you have given anything in a week. Do not let your mind wander. Who cares what you're going to eat for lunch? Stop that. Satan is stealing from you. Before you ever get out of the house, he's stealing the Word of God from you. See, I have come to tell you, you are not hopeless because you serve the God of hope who's going to fill you with hope. I don't care what your circumstances are right now. And I don't know how he's going to fix it. I don't know what he's going to do. I do know this. He will do something if you will commit it to him. If you will ask him, God, I need you in this situation. Commit that thing to God and stand in hope. We could stand in faith. I think those two words are almost synonymous. Standing in hope or standing in faith, as long as it's tied to the Word of God. The one thing we don't understand about faith is it's a substance. It's not pie in the sky. It's not a wish. It's substance. I've got reason to have hope. And that's because Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Now that excites me. Make sure that your hope is in Christ, not in earthly things. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. I have said many times, money tries to offer you the same things that God offers you. If you may think, if I just get more money, I'll have peace. If I just get more money, I'll have security. You know, the number one need of a woman is security. And so if they get to believe in the lie that money will bring them security, they will chase after money. And I just want to, the scripture says, don't go after those things. You make sure that you're chasing after Him, because He's the hope of glory. He is the one that is constant, that will not let you down, ever. As I began to think about this, my mind began to think about stories in the Bible, and I love stories in the Bible. The hope that we have is for a changed life. In Luke chapter 18, I'm not going to read these scriptures, but I just wanted you to document them. In Luke chapter 18, 35 through 43, we have the story of a man that's not given a name in Luke, but in Mark it tells us his name is Bartimaeus. And they called him blind Bartimaeus. I think that probably when the city people talked about him, they said, hey, you know old blind Bartimaeus, don't you? You know the old blind guy, Bartimaeus? Well, Jesus was coming by one day. Bartimaeus couldn't see who was coming, but he heard the excitement. I think something on the inside began to move around a little bit. I think hope is active. I think his hoper got excited. And he says, what's happening? Somebody tell me what's going on. And they said, oh, blind Bartimaeus, be quiet. It's Jesus that's coming through. Jesus is just walking by. Now you behave yourself and keep your quiet. Blind Bartimaeus didn't listen to the world. Oh, for people of God that would quit listening to the world. And he lifted up his voice, is what Scripture says. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I don't believe he said it once. I believe he said it until he got the attention of Christ. And Jesus come to him and he says, what an interesting statement. What do you want? Isn't it obvious, Jesus? He's blind. What do you think he wants? You think he wants a moped where he can get to his begging sight quicker? What do I want? I want my healing. I want to be able to see like everybody else sees. Why does Jesus ask the obvious? Because you need to say it. You gotta put your faith out there. I believe you can change my blindness today. I believe there's people sitting in this congregation today that will not state the obvious over their own life. It takes sincere honesty for a little girl to get up here and say, I had suicidal thoughts. I don't know if that surprised you, but I'd say it surprised every one of us in here. The honesty she had. How come we won't take the mask off? Take the mask off. Say, God, everybody thinks I've got it together, but I don't. I need you to heal me. I need you to bring peace. I need the hope of God. You can't hardly get people to come to an altar. Why? Because we act like we got it together. I don't want people to see that I've fallen apart. What do you want me to do? I want you to heal me. I want to see. I want to be free from this bondage. God, I want hope again. I just want to be able to get up in the mornings and think that this is going to be a good day. How awful it is to lose that. In John chapter 8, woman was caught in adultery. In the very act, the Bible says. They pulled her out of that tent. brought her probably mostly naked right to the court square, right where everybody was at, where Jesus had entered the city. And they didn't nicely bring her. I think they slung her like a piece of meat. The degradation, the embarrassment, the sinfulness. They wanted Jesus to say, let's get rid of this sin. Let's stone her. It's what the law of Moses said. But Jesus said, he that's without sin, cast the first stone. Said from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their rocks. They dropped their stones. And they went home. And he looked at this woman and he said, neither do I condemn you. You see, he was the only person there that could have condemned her. He was the only one sinless. But I don't condemn you either. You know, I think if Jesus was here today, he would tell you the same thing. I'm not here to condemn you. I didn't come to bring you death. I came to bring you life. I came to bring you hope, a future. John chapter 5, there was a man that was laying by the pool of Bethesda. Every once in a while, they said an angel would come down and would trouble the waters of this pool. And if you were sick, if you could get into the water before anyone else, you would be healed. And Jesus basically says, why are you not in the pool? Why have you not got in the pool? And he says, for 38 years I've been lame. I can't make it to the water. And there's no one that will help me. In other words, I have missed so many opportunities of being healed because I couldn't get there. How many times have we missed the opportunity when Jesus was passing by, but we didn't enter in? Oh, I know you're here. Bless God, you're here, and I thank you for that. But sometimes we got our butt in the seat, but our mind is somewhere miles away. That's not good enough, guys. You've got to be engaged in what the Spirit of God is doing. No one's here to put me in the water. Jesus just looked at him and said, why don't you rise up? Rise up and walk. 38 years this man had been crippled until the day he met Christ. And everything changed. John chapter 21, we have the story of Peter after the crucifixion. Christ has appeared to them several times and has done things with them. But this time, it seems like he's focused on Peter. He's made breakfast for them, but Jesus makes his way over to Peter. And he asks him, he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yeah, I love you. He said, go feed my sheep. A few minutes later, he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yeah, Jesus, I love you. Now, we could break that word love down because they have three or four different words, and each one of them, I believe, was different. But I can see Peter being a little frustrated. He's not in a good frame of mind because he has just failed Christ. And all the disciples have gathered back, and Jesus has come back into their presence. But in his mind, he's still somewhere that's not good. See, he's still in failure mode. And I think there's lots of times when the church gets together, but we're still in failure mode. I can't get past what I put before my eyes this week. I can't get past blowing up at somebody or talking to my wife ugly or doing this, or I cheated somebody in business and I can't get past, yes, I'm in church, but I can't get past this in my mind. Jesus loves us enough that he comes to him. Three times Peter blew it. Three times Jesus asked him the same question. Peter, do you love me? Do you remember who it was who preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost? It was Peter. It's a leader of the church. You see, it was important that Peter get his head straight. That Peter and Jesus' relationship is right. Jesus could not leave him in the point of failure. I must know that you are good with me, that I'm good with you, and that you understand what I need of you. See, I think there's a lot of people in church that Jesus has got the same sermon for you. That He's coming to you through the Spirit of the God. He comes by you and He says, are we okay? You and I, are we okay? And I think a lot of Christians just ignore that. I don't want to talk about that. I just don't want to think about what I did. And Jesus says, no, you need to think about what you did. Because I want you to get past it. Can you get past your failure? I think that's a really good question. If you can't get past your failure, you'll never get to the success that He has for you. You see, He quoted the scripture. God has a plan for your life. But if you're stuck in failure mode, you never get to the plan. You can't see beyond you. And He has a way. Jesus has a way of asking those questions that makes you wake up just a little bit. I think in a way He's saying, Peter, I have forgiven you. Do you love me enough to accept my forgiveness? Do you love me enough to complete the task that I have for you? Can I ask you the same question? Do you love Him enough to get beyond the failure, to get beyond the disappointment, to get beyond the despair, and say, I'm all in, Christ. I love you. I'll do whatever you ask for me. The last thing is, we have this hope according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding to the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have hope. Our hope is that one day we will lay down this old earthly body, this old tent in which we dwell, and we will meet the Lord in the air forever to be with the Lord. That's a wonderful hope. We have hope. We have hope of Christ in us. We have hope of what He can do for us. We have hope that one day we will be in eternity with Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Stand with me. I'm going to ask you today to take the mask off. Just like Ella did in front of you. She did it so easily. She just opened her heart and laid it out right in front of you. Every one of us come to church and we try to act like we got everything together. And the truth is, we don't. And I'm going to ask you to confess that today in front of this church. I'm going to ask that if you need the Lord to strengthen your resolve, to strengthen your hope, I want to ask you just come. I'm not going to do anything to you. I just want you to come and stand at this altar and say, I'm removing the mask. I need hope again in my life. My present situation steals from my hope bank, but my hope is in Christ. And I will not be disappointed and I will not be put to shame. Now, church, I want you to look for just a second. I want you to look at these people who basically is saying, it's been really tough lately. Because we're going to pray for them in just a second, but our prayer should not stop at this service. Our prayer should continue. These people have been beat up. They've been beat up. They've been trying to stand for Christ, but sometimes they would probably tell you, but I haven't done a real good job of it. And the first week of Advent, God said, when I sent my Son into the world, it was to bring hope. And we've let the devil steal it from us. But Jesus said, it's already yours. It's already yours. Christ in you. I know every person up here. And I know the truth. The truth is, every one of you know Jesus. Every one of you know that Christ is in your heart. The Bible says He is the hope of the glory, of the presence and the power of God in your life. Let me say it this way. It's not about you. It's about Him. So get your eyes off of you. Let's put our eyes on Him. I don't know how He's going to fix it. I just know He's faithful. Can you just raise your hands? Church, can you extend a hand up here? I thank you for your honesty, folks. Dear Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to manifest hope to each one of these folks. God, I know there's some that are sick. I know there's some that's going through deep emotional trouble. God, I know, Lord, some of their problems, but most of them, I don't know what they're going through, but you do. God, I'm so thankful that one of the promises of God is for hope. Lord, our hope is in you. It's not in anything else. I can't buy my way out of this, God. It's going to be by the power of Jesus that this situation changes. And I just want to declare today to myself and to the world that I believe God. I believe that you are passing by this moment. And I believe that you will ask me, what do you need? Tell Jesus what you need. Come on, just lift your voices. Tell Him. Jesus, I need healing. Jesus, I need help. Jesus, I need this. I need you, Jesus. Father God, let the power of Christ fall upon us. Jesus, touch from the right to the left. May your Spirit flow through this place in power. Burn away everything that's not you. So that only thing that remains in us is Christ. God, we don't know how you fix it. We're not telling you how you're going to fix it. But Lord, we're submitting it to you with all faith that says it will be fixed. It will be accomplished. My body will be healed. My situation will change. I refuse to worry any longer. I choose to trust you. You are my hope. In Jesus' name we pray for our brothers and sisters. Work mightily in their life. Thank you, Jesus. Can we give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Jesus. You are the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Now Satan will tell you, well, I hope that little cry was good, because that's all there is. Do not lay down your faith. You stand in faith, believing. And you may want to say something like this: my eyes don't have to see it, but I believe it. I believe you're working. Satan's going to want to tell you, well, you don't feel any different than you've felt before. Your situation didn't change. Yes, it did. I promise you, your situation changed. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And He is moving in your heart. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Things have changed in the spirit. Now, it will change in the physical realm also. It may take a little while, but it will change. You hang on to hope. God bless you, folks. Appreciate your honesty. Brother Denny, would you come and dismiss us? Aren't you glad my sermons are getting shorter?